There's a lot to say, and like I said, we need to pray. We have a lot to pray for, and we do hear talk about parish sustainability. Can a parish sustain itself? Should a parish close, or which parish is going to close? Which Catholic schools are going to be consolidated? All these topics that are kind of hard for us to hear, we don't understand. And the Archbishop has been clear, no decision has been made other than the fact that things cannot remain the same. That much seems clear. If it's not clear, that's kind of why we're having this conversation. And the Archbishop encouraged me to kind of have this initiative to go preach to each of the different communities to kind of encourage some things. I'll share a few reflections, but I know that each one of us is in a different place. And I'm speaking to each of you, and you've had different experiences, different backgrounds, different opinions about different things of the church. Maybe you love your pastor, love your parish, love the archdiocese, love the archbishop. Maybe you have a different sentiment about anything. So the seed I'm trying to share is going to fall necessarily on different kinds of soil. I know that. And I guess I'm just asking for an open and prayerful ear, that we would pray for the Holy Spirit to lead all of us as one faith community wherever He needs us to go. So I hope that makes sense. First of all, I want to talk about storms. We've had some storms. We've had some major hurricanes, right? Maybe we were previously unaware, but I feel like Ida was only one of many tremendous storms that our Catholic faith and our church community has been facing for quite a long time. Ida simply, in my opinion, ripped off the Band-Aid, so to speak, especially with insurance and FEMA not coming through as quickly as we had expected, and we're wondering why. We've been forced to have very tough, sobering conversations and realize we were no longer riding the comfortable wave that we had been riding. I think we've been ignoring things for a long time, perhaps. Some of these conversations are perhaps decades overdue. We think about Ida, and some of our own friends or ourselves were still rebuilding our homes. Many parish churches have received so little of the much-needed repairs that were urgent over a year ago. I'm glad to see the roof seems to be getting some attention, but y'all were waiting for a long time for that. And that's just a small thing. But the damage has been worsening as we waited. Ida, I think, followed another storm, a global pandemic. I love the peas. Global pandemic, which carried with it a social and economic shutdown that hurt everybody, hurt our economy, our churches too. For many churches were pulling out of their savings because they couldn't. There were no collections. There was no income. They had to pay their bills. So they've been hurt in a lot of ways for that reason, because of that storm. Another storm was the scandal in the church, which nobody expected. We should never have expected. It should not have happened. But it happened. Priests are human. We're all human. The stuff that never should have happened, or much less been concealed, it was what it was. So many have lost faith in the church, in bishops, and priests, and the Pope. How could trusted shepherds do such things? And from that storm, our own archdiocese, like many others, is now locked in the very long bankruptcy of reorganization, just one more storm. And their hands are tied sometimes, at least financially. But beyond these storms, which of themselves would seem like already a perfect storm to cripple any church, I think there have been other storms that we weren't necessarily paying attention to. Demographic changes that have been going on for a long time. That's something seriously. For me, I think this is one of the major factors that's dictating our conversations about parish sustainability. The population shifts. Y'all know St. John's Civil Parish down the road. I think it was supposedly ranked number 2 in the areas where the population has most drastically decreased. People are leaving many places. They're going to other places, but they're leaving some places. And so we see churches facing a population, a diminished population, with little hope that the community will ever be as numerous as it once was. Think of when Sacred Heart was built. You think these pews were empty when it was built? They were full. That's why they built a church. It needed a church, demanded a church, and they built one. And that storm of demographic change has been going on for a long time. Another storm added to that, the economic, the financial storms, right? Costs are increasing everywhere. Think of your own drastic insurance premium changes likely just recently. Think of your utilities bills going up. Now apply that to so many parishes in a small area, which each have several buildings with insurance and utilities. Then throw in salaries, which should be increasing to keep up with the increased cost of living. It's just a lot. And again, demographic changes. There's fewer contributors tasked to pay for increased expenses in a lot of parishes in a small area. Will parish contributors increase? Who knows? And who's in charge of that? Whose role is it to fix that situation? Another storm that we heard more about years ago, we haven't necessarily heard a lot about it recently, but there's a vocational crisis. We were blessed, I think, in New Orleans. We didn't necessarily feel it. We're used to seeing priests here. And if one pastor dies, we just presume that we're entitled to another pastor. But I think we're ignoring that we don't have any priests right now sitting on the sidelines. Think about this. For one parish to get a new pastor, we're getting to the point where another parish will have to lose their pastor. Or some pastors already exhausted with one parish are going to be tasked to be pastors of two and three parishes. You know the quality of their care, if they're any good at all, is going to decrease necessarily. And that's just the quantity of vocations. Don't get started, right? The quality, you all know. Like there's priests that we like sometimes, or maybe we got the mean priest, or the priest who doesn't speak my language the way I want him to. Like, we're not guaranteed the perfect vocations. We're not guaranteed the shepherds who can do well everything that a shepherd of the church is supposed to be able to do. We're not guaranteed that. There's a vocational crisis, and we can't be oblivious to it. On top of that, another storm, the worsening spiritual storm of secularism. Add to it so many social divisions today. In other words, a conglomeration of ideas and ideologies which, although different and even divisive among themselves, have one common fruit, the cultural pull upon our friends and our families to distance themselves from the Catholic faith and from greater participation in the church parish mission and responsibility. Secular culture normalizes and even promotes sin. Why go to confession when sin is what everyone else is doing anyway? Confession is what they're not doing. And it ridicules faith, it ridicules church authority. It encourages religious indifference and undermines any zeal for any truth, much less the truth. Sadly, statistics show that today, less than half of even Catholics truly believe that Jesus is truly present in the Blessed Eucharist. How did so many lose that faith? How long this storm has been raging and disconnecting our society from God and the Church. Our children are more confused. And secular culture without God teaches us that we're supposed to be in charge and in control of everything. So we live with fear and anxiety because they're problems that we're surprised we're not in control of. There was always a God before. This storm has been raging for decades and we have not been recovering. And as time went on, the damage is only getting worse. So many storms for decades, so many unrecoverable situations that we've been facing. Secularism, vocational shortage, priest scandal, lawsuits, ongoing population shifts, finances, whatever. We saw the pews day by day, year by year, just decreasing in people sitting there. We've been dazed and just pushing forward, hardly able to respond to the new situation, the new needs. We did not downsize, nor spend more strategically. We had no plan. And our parishioners were not aware of the seriousness of our situation. We told ourselves, perhaps, that since the church doors were still open, we were doing just fine. And then Ida hits, and insurance takes its slow time, and we're surprised to hear talk of parish sustainability. Why are we surprised? Just think about one example, but in the situation of diminishing population, and raising prices and costs, and so many storms after storms, can we afford so many parishes and so many buildings? Is it wise to try to maintain everything simply because we've always had these buildings? I know they're not just buildings, especially in the case of churches, they're churches, but it's a tough question. Everyone should be asking themselves that question. Another storm, and I just want to shift with this, I call it parochialism. And I think it is something for us to really reflect on. It's the sense that church, for me, is my own parish church. And it's the tendency amidst 111 parishes in the archdiocese that each works like its own private business under the corporate headquarters of the archdiocese. Amidst storm after painful spiritual or physical storm, and with damage only increasing over time, we rarely saw pastors collaborating with neighboring pastors who were also drowning from the same storms. There was no conversation about voluntarily consolidating our resources into one stronger community. For decades, no one talked about it. No one wanted to talk about it. Each business, each parish, was focused on its own right to exist, its own right to remain a parish. And as long as they could raise enough money to pay their immediate debts, doors stayed open, electricity stayed on, everything seemed fine. But they were still drowning, and the people were still diminishing in the global area. They were forgetting, I think, that we are all still children nourished as one holy Catholic church. It doesn't close even if certain buildings close. If Holy Family Luling closes, the people of Luling are still the church and they will still be nourished. But maybe we can't afford the buildings in Luling as a family. It's a tough conversation, I don't know. But everyone should be thinking about it. Instead, each individual boat seems so busy plugging its own holes and reluctant to join forces with neighboring boats in the same fleet. And if we keep that up, I think we're all going to sink. Parochialism has kept us paralyzed instead of working as one family against the same enemies and the same enemy. So I want, I guess, to apologize, both as pastor and as dean, if over the last years, I myself or others have worked so hard to build up a parish with people, activities, and buildings of our own, that we inadvertently also built up walls dividing the one holy Catholic church. There's one church. Holy Family, Sacred Heart, Our Lady of Grace, St. Joan of Arc, one church. Parish, that term, is simply an arbitrary and administrative subdivision of that one holy Catholic church. It presumes that there are far too many people and activities for the one shepherd archbishop to nourish and manage by himself. So he appoints a pastor over an arbitrary, usually geographic, area and community. The community contributes towards whatever resources they need to extend Christ's kingdom in that locality. And like the early church, they also contribute to the larger family of the archdiocese community. But it's always one church, one family, one faith, one shared mission. The one assembly, that's what church means, right? Which God is gathering into one holy communion. But in so many storms, and with all of our losses, should we sustain so many divisions? Does that make sense? Is that good thinking in our shared efforts? We need to begin thinking perhaps towards working more together, building a stronger communion, thinking strategically, and especially right now perhaps thinking long term. That's my opinion. It won't be enough for parishes simply to survive paying their electric bills if they're not thriving. This is not really a conversation about the viability or survivability of a parish, but its growing vitality. I don't really want to suggest that the solution lies in raising more money if the kingdom isn't growing in the area. Growing vitality. A dead fish can float downstream, no problem. It takes a living fish to swim upstream, to go counter current. Are we alive? Is the kingdom, is the community here able to grow in all of our areas? Or are we just floating and lucky to keep our doors open? And who's in charge of that? Archbishop Amon? Father Ed by himself? Each one of us, maybe? All of us together? I can understand where we hear of maybe the diocese pays some outside business groups like Catholic Leadership Institute to help facilitate difficult parish conversations about the future of that particular parish, whether consolidation. Been kind of frustrating at times. I've heard some complaints about it. It's not easy. Why hire some outside group to do this? But for me, I think it's mainly because none of us on our own show the maturity to volunteer our own facilities to be those consolidated. Here, take my parish center, close it, because we realize we have a building down the street that we could go to from the other parish. Nobody was going to do that. We were each trying to keep our own doors open at all costs. They should be the ones to close their doors, that other parish, not us. That mentality, I think, is problematic. Post-Ida, I heard a leader in one damaged parish decline another parish's offer. Why don't you host your PSR here in this parish? We have a building that works. The reply from the first person was, we don't want our kids helped by that parish because they might not come back. Well, there's something wrong there. There's something misunderstood about what it means to be a parish and be a church, one church. Guys, I think the saints themselves, St. Peter, St. Mark, St. Gertrude, St. John the Baptist, all of them, St. Hubert, would all say the same thing. It was never about the Church of St. Hubert, the Church of St. Gertrude, the same Church of St. Mark, Church of the Sacred Heart, Church of Holy Family. It was all one church of Christ. It's not us versus them. Not parish to parish, not parish to archdiocese. It's not us versus them. If the next hurricane hits your church community, you should know that the buildings of the functioning church down the street, those are your buildings. That's your pastor too. And my pastor, under one archbishop. And if it hits their church and not yours, they should know that you are their brothers and sisters, and you've already been reaching out to build a bridge so that they feel comfortable coming to Sacred Heart instead of St. Joan of Arc, because it's all one church. Why would they not? And really just talking about costs and insurance, like, I mean, we pay so much money now for insurance on so many buildings just to keep them open. What about that money being spent on people instead of buildings? Do we have the right to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars just to keep buildings open when it could be spent on people? Maybe, like, imagine what it would do to fund Catholic education scholarships instead of insurance on 20 buildings in a 10-minute radius. Just food for thought. Again, no answers, but I think we need to recognize some obstacles. Sometimes I do hear envious comments about certain parishes that are not supposedly on the list to be closed. And I would say this, none of us should be sitting comfortable right now. No pastor, no parish should be sitting comfortable. Any one storm, hurricane, lawsuit, financial struggle, change of pastor, personality issues could lead to closing our doors almost overnight unless we're willing to work together and own this together. So I guess I ask forgiveness if church leadership or any, if even other church communities have put obstacles in the way of this needed and truly Catholic communion, Catholic universal, right? Working towards one, towards communion. Don't worry, I'm coming to a close. Almost finished. A few takeaways, a few things perhaps to work on. I think we need to overcome what I've called this paralysis of parochialism. We need to come together. We need to work smarter, more strategically, more long-term, getting out of ourselves, holding on tightly to things that last, the spiritual growth and needs, and not so much to buildings or material things or programs. The church is not about her buildings. It's about her people. We need to be thinking that way ourselves first. St. Paul criticized the damnable divisions in the early church as if I am for Cephas, I'm for Apollo, I'm for Paul. St. Paul challenged them, is Christ divided? There's only one Christ. The church we know is not immune to cultural divisions and social divisions, but we are not of Norco, of Luling, of Desalmo, of my race or your race. I am more Catholic than I am Caucasian, or I would hope to be. More of Christ than of my skin color or my other values that we talk about a lot today. My faith runs deeper than my social boundaries. Can we receive that? Because Catholic means universal, which implies our job as Catholics is to build bridges across the things that divide us. Not sit there and be one more divided group among a whole world of divided groups. A little plug, 5 years ago or more now, the Archdiocese invested a lot of effort. The bishop visited so many communities, getting all of us to give feedback. What do we think needed to happen? It was the Archdiocese and Synod. I think it ended in 2016. A lot of real resolutions were put in place, or well, put out, for parishes to take and run with them. Have we taken and run with any of them? Where are we in that progress? It was a lot of work. Another plug for programs such as, I mean, the Archdiocese is talking about the amazing parish program to help pastors and parishioners work better together with leadership, whatever. Also, the ACTS program, it's programs like that that are helping to bridge divided groups of people, to help build community in the church. So overcoming that parochialism and building community, that's one thing. Another thought, take ownership, all of us. Pastors, laity, take ownership of the mission Jesus Christ entrusted to his church. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Liam, that's you. He sent you too, kiddo, and all of us. Own that mission. Who's the church? Father, bishop, or me, myself? All of us together. We are the church. Own the mission. Take a moment. Look for a moment. I know it's July and people are out of town, but look at the empty pews for a moment. Look at them. Who's responsible for that? All of us, priests and people. Feel the weight of Christ's mission entrusted to each one of us. Have a little healthy stress about what's to be done about that, because it's my and your responsibility. Take ownership of communication. Whose job is it to make sure that everyone knows that the parish picnic is taking place next week? Father's job, or it's the secretary's job? No, it's our job. If you see something posted on a Facebook about an upcoming opportunity, either here or in Destrehan or in Norco, what do? On that Facebook post, you share it to your friends. You forward the email. You talk about it in your lunch group or at the office, and you make sure that at least two people come with you. Because it wasn't just for you, it was through you for others, through me for others. Take ownership of the formation, your formation as a Christian and a Catholic, and the formation of your peers. You were baptized and confirmed. That means you're called to teach the faith. Am I doing that? Father, I don't even know if I know it myself well enough to teach. Well, that's step one. Own that responsibility. Who's in charge of PSR? Don't give me a name. Who's in charge of PSR? Right here. All of us. If we're sitting there waiting for PSR to do something for us, if we're not talking about Jesus Christ in our home, at school, in the workplace, close PSR. If the only time kids talk about Jesus is once a week in their PSR groups at church, and that's it, that's not okay. You don't need PSR if that's all you're going to do with it. It's supposed to bring Jesus into the community, into their school, their work, circles of friends. It's hard for us to think this way, but if the parish continues to dwindle, if I myself, each one of us, has not invited a new person to the parish picnic, the adoration night, Mass on Sunday, if we haven't invited somebody to come with me from my workplace, from my social group, and later we get a letter from the Archdiocese saying, well, this church has to close its doors, whose fault is that? Archbishop Amon by himself? I say this before we have to worry about those things, so that we're doing things such that we'll never have to worry about those things. But if we don't change, it's just a matter of time for all of us. I think that's my cue. I know. I'm almost finished. Thank you. I got the memo. Good. All right. So, I know we complain about physical buildings. I get it. And everyone's frustrated with the physical buildings not getting repaired. But I can only do so much about that. Each one of you can only do so much about that. It's not something you can easily fix. But the spiritual building, meaning the extension of Jesus' kingdom to the souls, the building blocks of his church, that's very much in your hands and my hands. What are we doing about it? Well, we don't have a parish center, so we haven't done anything about it. Who needs a parish? The apostles didn't have a parish center. I really want to encourage a lot of initiative. Find two or three friends. Father, call Father every other day. Father, two or three friends and I got together. We came up with this initiative. Can we try it? Father, we're having six couples over to our house for couples night. Would you mind coming and leading us in a gospel reflection? Or if you can't, would you hear confessions? Sure, at our house, because the church is leaking today. Do it. Why are we not doing it? Why for 30 and 40 years have we not been doing it? Because we thought we were doing just fine, because the doors were open. Think about the local Norco Months community. If Sacred Heart were to close one day, would the civic community miss it? Would they notice? Would it just be one more real estate property on the market and nothing else? Did it matter to Norco and Months and the local communities that God in the flesh is right here every single day? That they can come visit, that they can come to Mass every single day? Receive Holy Communion every single day, learn more about Jesus Christ and the path to salvation every single day, and it's 5 minutes from their house? Until it's not. Will they notice the difference? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing as Christians, as Catholics, as one holy church, priest, and people? There's lots of initiative. I know sometimes it's hard to invite people to church. They maybe feel, for different reasons, maybe uncomfortable, much less to confession. But there are other things we could plan and organize. Y'all are doing a lot at Sacred Heart, so kudos, really, keep it up. But more of that, I think. Work together to do more of that. And if it's not happening in Norco, but it's happening at Destrehan, go support that. Sometimes I hear, oh my gosh, look what Destrehan's doing. We should do the same thing. Let's start our own. Why? When you've got it 5 minutes, 10 minutes down the road. Lots for us to hopefully think about, pray about. We need to work in our own, owning this ourselves, building a community amongst our shared brothers and sisters, our parishes down the road. And that's, I think, what I want to end with. And we are coming to an end. We're about to receive Holy Communion in just a few minutes. The living sign and sacrament of our real communion as one body of Christ. How can we look like that more? How can we work like that more? With better communication, better initiative, better shared awareness of the mission, better commitment, better solidarity, better patience with one another in overcoming our divisions. So I do ask that we simply pray for these things. Pray for a greater share and ownership of the weight of the mission of Jesus Christ among each one of us, beginning with the priest, the pastor, but with all of us together. Lord, may your mission not be hindered by my indifference or my passivity or my complaining that someone else isn't doing enough. Own the initiative. And that might help in the long term keep our community and buildings in place, perhaps, we hope so. But also pray for a greater communion, a greater sense of that communion with our brothers and sisters down the road. We pray for a healing to so many divisions. Divisions between Christians, Catholic, Protestant. We're not working together. Divisions between Catholics, between parishes in the archdiocese, between groups of people and other groups of people that are not their friends. I'm not with that clique, I'm in another clique. We pray for a healing to those divisions that are getting in the way of so much that our Lord would like us to do. Let us be less focused and less identified by things that divide us, and more focused on our shared Catholic identity, which unites us. We are all of Jesus Christ, who prayed, Father, that they may be one. May we hold fast not to many parish boundaries or church buildings, but to one Lord, one church, one community, one family of faith, gathered around one holy altar into one growing and thriving community. Pray about this. I hope it was received the right way. Like I said, seed on different kinds of soil. But we're just called to receive perhaps with an open ear. Pray for what is the Lord asking each one of us to do. Amen. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us.